The following program is a presentation of the Jewelry Exchange and Auction.
Did you know that when you're buying or selling almost anything, you should make people bid for your business? That's called an auction, and it takes two to make an auction. Good morning, everybody, and welcome to In the Money, the show that answers the questions, what is it, what's it worth, and what do I do with it? I'm David Bluestein.
And I'm Adam Bluestein from the Jewelry Exchange and Auction in San Antonio.
And we're here each Saturday morning at 7 o'clock to provide an insider's view on the world of jewelry, coins, antiques, collectibles, and much more. As owners and operators of the Jewelry Exchange and Auction, we're on the front line with a finger on the pulse of these markets every day. And as of now, you have a friend in the business. Yeah, it takes two people to make an auction. If you're selling a car or if we're selling our jewelry, it's always better to hear more than one offer. Today on our Insider's Report, you'll get the inside story on how auctions work and what it takes to get people to compete for your valuables. Also, we'll be talking to Billy Ward of Ward Auction Company on Bandera Road in San Antonio, and we'll be taking your calls and emails on the subject of selling your unwanted valuables at auction. I've mentioned before that in California I had two galleries and a consumer products division, but no auction. This is before I retired and moved to San Antonio. We had our money tied up in inventory like most merchants do. We had slow-moving and no-moving merchandise. We call that dead inventory. Merchandise is just sitting there, eating up our profits, waiting for someone to come and buy it. It's boring for us to see that same merchandise every day, and it's boring for our customers to come in and see the same old stuff every time they come. When I retired and moved to San Antonio, well, frankly, I thought I was done with this business, but I missed it and came back and said, we're going to do it a little differently this time. This time, we'll be buying, we'll be selling, but we're going to have an auction. No more dead inventory and no more boredom. And that's what auction means. The average lifespan of a piece of merchandise in our gallery is 10 days. Some things flip even faster than that. If you come in and you see a ring you like and then come back next week to say, I want to talk to you about that ring, it's different than a jewelry store. I'm going to say, lady, that ring's gone, but you're welcome to look and see what we have right now. We flip the room every Saturday evening. Every Saturday evening, we sell everything in the room. And 10 o'clock Monday morning, you can come in. The room is empty. People come in and say, what are you, going out of business? What's going on? Everything's gone. But by 10 a.m. on Tuesday morning, the room's full again because we're flipping merchandise every week. When we were finally discovered, local dealers came to us and said, look, don't put your James Avery jewelry into the auction. I'll buy it from you. I'll pay it more than anybody else. And people came and said, well, don't put your diamonds in the auction. I'll pay more than anyone else. Don't put your coins in the auction. I'll pay more than anybody else. Well, we didn't listen to them because if we had, what would be in the auctions? Only the things that nobody wanted. So instead, we want people to compete for our merchandise, and we want people to compete for your merchandise too. When you consign merchandise to us, our job is to make sure that people compete for it the same way we make them compete for our merchandise. That's an auction. Take a look at almost any industry and almost any area of collectibles. When great collections are sold of almost anything, they're sold at auction because that's where people compete. And in just a few minutes, we're going to tell you exactly how all that works. But first, it's time for this week's In the Money trivia quiz, the quiz where you win the answer. Let's review last week's quiz. Last week, I said that most numismatists agree that the most beautiful gold coin ever minted was Augustus St. Gaudens' double eagle $20 gold piece that was minted by the United States Mint in the early 1900s. Most numismatists also agree that the most beautiful silver coin ever minted was Adolph Weinmann's Walking Liberty half dollar that was minted from 1916 until 1947. The U.S. Mint was unable or maybe unwilling to be creative when they wanted to make a one-ounce pure silver bullion coin in the mid-80s, so they chose Weinmann's design for the Walking Liberty half dollar to make the new American Silver Eagle to satisfy investors. the Silver Eagle, a 1 ounce pure silver bullion coin. Last week's question was, in what year and in what denomination was the first American Silver Eagle minted? The answer, I almost said, of course, well, of course, sure, if you're a numismatist, is a 1986 $1 coin. The American Eagle silver coin is a silver dollar. And, of course, as you might guess, the prize for those first three people who got the answer right is an uncirculated 1986 American Eagle silver dollar. We had three winners last week, Marcia Knowlton, Bill Higgins, and Gary Lapidus. Please, folks, if you're listening, please come to our Jewelry Exchange and Auction Gallery at 19903 Stone Oak Parkway within the next 30 days to claim your prize. Our business hours can be found on the Contact Us tab on our homepage. Probably easier to tell you from 10 to 6 Monday through Saturday. But you can go to www.jewelryexchangeandauction.com to find out all of our hours and directions. And now for this week's quiz, let's go to Adam.
All right, listen carefully. This week's question is, most gemstones are the result of the intense heat and pressure found deep under the Earth's crust. This gemstone has an organic origin, can take thousands or even millions of years to form, comes in a variety of colors, and myths say they might even contain some dino DNA.
Well, there's a hint.
Name this gemstone. If you have the answer, you can go to our website and submit your answer through the website at inthemoneyradio.com. And if you hear your name called as the winner next week on the show, listen, and you can come into the gallery at Jewelry Exchange and Auction and pick up your prize.
Hi, I'm David Bluestein from the Jewelry Exchange and Auction, co-host of KLUP's In the Money radio show. When you want a new car, you don't drive your old car to the junkyard. When it's time to move, you don't sell your old house for firewood. So why would you treat your old jewelry that way? Your unwanted valuables aren't scrap. At the Jewelry Exchange and Auction, up to 25,000 qualified bidders from all over the world compete for your unwanted valuables at our live auctions. We also need your coins and currency, firearms, and almost any unwanted valuable. You can sell it on the spot or auction it for even more money. What's in your closet? We want to know. Get more at the Jewelry Exchange and Auction in San Antonio, Texas license number 16604, member of the Better Business Bureau. Call us, please, at 210-592-8786 or visit jewelryexchangeandauction.com for more information and join us here every Saturday morning at 7 a.m. for In the Money right here on KLUP. People are calling us and emailing us all day long to ask us what they have. They describe it. They send us fuzzy little pictures. They describe it in whatever words and terms they can think of. And we do our best to tell them what it is. Sometimes the pictures and the descriptions are enough to give us a pretty good idea what's going on. But sure, it's a lot easier if people will just bring their merchandise in. But we don't necessarily want you to schlep everything all over town and then find out maybe it's not very valuable or that no one really has any interest in it. So always feel free to call us at 210-592-8786 to discuss anything you want to discuss. But ultimately, if we are going to sell something for you, you have to bring it into the gallery so we can take a look at it. We figure that we're all big boys and girls. We can talk about anything, find out what your needs are, and see what it is we can do to satisfy you. You don't always like what we tell you, but it'll be true and accurate. And we can't always do business, but if we can, we sure want to. And at some point then, after discussing everything, if you decide that you want us to sell the merchandise for you, you become a consignor. And as any auction house will tell you, there has to be a consignment agreement. What we can't have is you dropping off merchandise and then later you get a check and nobody really knows what the terms and conditions are and you're dissatisfied with something and we have nothing we can point to show what was discussed or what was agreed upon. So whenever we take anything for consignment, we always execute a two-way consignment agreement. And of course that always starts with the date and the names of the parties and between you and the Jewelry Exchange and Auction. We also ask if you're representing an estate, because if indeed you're a trustee or you're somehow involved in a probate of a will or an estate, well, we need to know that, because I don't think any of us want to live in a world where we're buying and selling other people's property. We want to make sure that you own the merchandise or that you have the legal right to deal with it. And then we describe the items. Sometimes our consigners require a detailed description, and sometimes they're happy with a general description. Usually their first time in, they want everything itemized to make sure that nothing disappears. And by the second or third or fourth time in, they're saying, here's some more stuff, just let me know what happens. And the descriptions get shorter and shorter. But these descriptions really have no bearing on how we describe the merchandise when we go to sell it. There we're going to give much more factual information, information that portrays the value of the merchandise and information that we can live with. But on our consignment agreement, it's just a description that works for all the parties involved, for you and for us. And on the agreement, we have to understand what your expectations are. Many people bring us merchandise and say, look, just show it to your audience. In the gallery and online, we'll have between 10 and 24,000 people preview every week, and many people are satisfied to say, look, if you show my merchandise to all those people and nobody wants to pay more than $100, then I'm willing to admit that it's only worth $100. Other people bring in things that are near and dear to them, and there's a saying in the business, gee, why don't you bring it back when you don't love it so much? But, you know, we're happy to give it a try under your terms, if we think that it's reasonable at all. If we don't think that your expectations are reasonable, we're going to turn you down. And because why go through all this work and trouble and accomplish nothing? But you're going to have your choice to sell your merchandise with reserve or without reserve. If we think that your reserve, the minimum price that you're willing to accept, if we think it's unreasonable or not doable, we're just going to turn you down. But we understand that some people just aren't willing to bring in a valuable diamond ring and let it go to just whoever happens to be the high bidder that week. And so as long as we think your reserve is reasonable, we can accept that. If we think your reserve is very reasonable, we'll accept it with no reserve fee. If we think your reserve is very unreasonable, we won't accept it at all. If we think your reserve is doable but not necessarily easy, we're probably going to ask you to agree to a reserve fee, that if we do our job, we show that merchandise, try to sell it, and no one will agree to your price, we ask you to pay a basic fee that's probably 3% of the reserve price that you name. In other words, if you say the minimum you're willing to accept for this particular ring is $1,000, we do our job, we can't sell it, we're probably going to ask you for a 3% fee of the $1,000, a $30 fee. And our minimum reserve fee is $15. But once again, if we think that your minimum is reasonable, then we can accept that with no reserve fee. But still, items with very small reserves, $30, $100, it's better to just show that merchandise and let it go. When we sell low-priced merchandise, we just show it and let it go. Some items we're dissatisfied with and some we're very happy with, but overall, we know we like the way that goes. But in any case, if there's going to be a fee, if there's not going to be a fee, that has to be stipulated in advance, and that would be a reserve fee. If you allow us to show it and sell it with no reserve whatsoever, there'll never be a reserve fee. There'll only be a commission. Our consignment agreement states a commission of 30% of the sale price, provided that the net remittance to the consignor, that's you, for any item sold shall not be less than the reserve price, if any. What does that mean? If you give us a set of china and we sell it for you for $100 and there's no reserve on it, then we're going to take $30 and you're going to get $70. If you gave us a set of china and you wanted to put a $100 reserve on it, we would turn that down. Because if you listen to our show, you're going to know that because of the cultural shift, the young people aren't buying china anymore, and so we're not going to make you any promises about the china. We'll liquidate that for you, but we're not going to make you any promises about what's going to happen. But what we don't do is fail to make the sale because we couldn't get a bid that was high enough to satisfy our commission. In other words, if we promised you no less than $100 and the best bid we could get is $110, we're going to make the sale anyway. You'll get your $100 and we'll be satisfied with $10, which of course is not a 30% commission, but we're not going to kill the sale just because we couldn't get our full commission. But of course, if it sold for $200, we'd want our 30%, and you would get the 70% that's left over. But in any case, we're going to sell that merchandise according to our instructions from you, with or without reserve, and we will then take a commission. we readily admit that we do negotiate the commission rate for the right merchandise. Last Saturday night, we sold a ring for a lady, for a diamond ring, for a platinum, gold, and diamond ring for $12,000. And we had agreed to a 10% commission because, frankly, when we sell something for $12,000, our $1,200 fee for selling that ring is satisfactory to us. I wish that every week when we had 300 items, they all sold for $12,000. We'd be wealthy people. And so we sold the ring for $12,000. The lady got $10,800, which was 90% of the sale price. If the bidding had advanced, she would have made more, and we would have made more too. So the reserve doesn't limit what you can get. It limits us in our ability to pull that trigger at a price that you would perceive as too low. When we sell coins, for example, certified coins that for $1,000 or more, our rate is 10%. $500 to $1,000 for certified U.S. coins, NGC, PCGS certified coins, our rate is 15%. For certified coins under $500, our rate is 20%. So you see, it's a sliding scale, but this goes back to what I said at the beginning. We're big boys and girls. We can talk about anything we want, and you don't have to agree to anything you don't want to agree to. But then again, neither do we. Some people do this differently. I'm sure that when we talked to Billy Ward today from Ward Auction Company, Billy has his own way to do it. But, you know, Billy's a big boy, too. He's been doing this a long time, and he knows what it takes for him to survive and for him to make the money that he feels is necessary for him to make for his efforts. So all of these things evolve over time for all of us, and many auction houses do it many, many different ways. State law says that we have to pay you within 15 days of the time when we get paid. Our agreement says we'll pay you within 7 days. We just flip this merchandise and pay you as fast as we can. I bet you that our average is probably 5 days. So when you drop merchandise off to us, it takes up to 2 weeks, but usually around 10 days for us to get it into a live auction, show it to between 10 and 25,000 people, and then we'll pay you in no more than a week. So 3 weeks turnaround time is almost always the max amount of time. So we're really just going to flip that as fast as possible. Our agreement includes a place where we can talk about additional fees. Believe me, if you made me drive to Topeka, Kansas to pick up your coin collection, we're going to charge you for that. Or if we're going to ship something somewhere that's out of the ordinary, that's in addition to any shipping that we ordinarily do. For example, we sold recently the sign from John Wayne's movie McClintock, from the opening scene, the McClintock Ranch sign. And we sold that for someone. We know who we are at the Jewelry Exchange. We didn't think we could get top dollar for that sign, but we know some people in Southern California who specialize in entertainment memorabilia. So we shipped it to them, and there were certain crating and shipping costs. We revealed that to the consignor up front, and the consignor agreed to pay those costs. So we did charge for that. But usually there's just no other charge other than this commission rate, or if it fails to sell, the reserve fee. We then ask you to agree that once you've signed this agreement, that you're not going to change your mind, that if you're giving it to us with no reserve, we have the right to sell that. And no reserve means no reserve. We don't want to sell anything for a dollar, but that happens sometimes. But no reserve means it's going to sell. And if you give it to us with reserve, our agreement says we're entitled to one auction. And then if it doesn't sell, if you want us to try it again at a lower price or with no reserve, we might agree to do that. But we ask you to agree not to withdraw that item. Nothing is stupider than we've uploaded it to the internet and done all that work, and people are bidding on it, and the auction's about to begin, and someone shows up and says, look, I changed my mind. I want my merchandise back. So our agreement says that you're guaranteeing us the right to sell that, or at least one try at it, or else there's a $100 fee if you change your mind. We call that the boo clause, because all we're really saying is boo. Don't waste our time. And so far, we haven't had to charge anybody that fee because we always make sure you understand that. Then we ask you to agree that if indeed the merchandise doesn't sell, that you'll claim that merchandise within 7 days. Don't make us keep it in the safe and waste our time. And also standard language that, you know, that you're old enough and you're not crazy and you didn't steal anything. And you have to agree that this consignment agreement is the agreement. But what we do on the bottom of our agreement is I give you my name and my license number. We are Texas license number 16604, Adams license 16643. We give you that information. We're licensed by the state of Texas. We're covered by the Recovery Fund, which is a bond fund. We give you their name and the phone number for the Texas Department of Licensing and Regulation. So if you think that we did something wrong, you can call them. Now, we don't want you to call them because we don't want to talk to them. You never want to talk to the state agency if you don't have to. So that's your guarantee that we're not going to do anything wrong. So please call us and talk to us about anything you might want to sell. And we're going to make it just that clear and just that simple as much as we can.
Well, it looks like David left me with about 6 minutes to cover a whole lot of material here. I've got a whole beginner's guide to auctions, and I'll probably just end up posting that on the website, but I'm going to go over some of the key points now. And I'd just like to say that buying at auction is how the public can buy merchandise at or below what a dealer would expect to pay. At Jewelry Exchange and Auction, we do coins, jewelry, diamonds, guns, collectibles, all sorts of things. Other places, we'll sell land, houses, cars. We've sold cars and motorcycles and just about anything. And that you can expect to find these at auction at huge discounts to retail. We sell coins well below gold, the gray sheet dealer prices, diamonds well below Rappaport wholesale diamond price guides, guns and collectibles, often with no minimums or reserves, most people new to auctions find them a bit intimidating, and they're afraid that they're going to scratch their nose and end up owning a piano, or that the diamond ring that they bought turned out to be a Cracker Jack prize. But if you follow some of these simple guidelines, you can get some great deals and have a lot of fun in the process. That one of the main things I can't stress enough is to preview the merchandise before the auction. That at Jewelry Exchange and Auction, you can preview all week live or through the internet, proxybid.com. And that way you can get an idea of what it is that's going to come up. If you try to preview during the auction, you have about 40 seconds to decide if you like it, check the condition, do your research, figure out what you want to pay. That's impossible. Also, many auction houses have printed catalogs. You can read full descriptions. You should take one and you should read it. And if you plan to bid on a lot, read the whole description. Also, ask questions that will tell you the truth, even if it's not pretty. Find out if there's a buyer's premium. Most auction houses will charge a buyer's premium, and it is an extra fee on top of the high bid that will be added to your invoice. You should know that if there's a buyer's premium, you should be aware of what that is before you start bidding. To participate in any auction, you will likely need to register for a bidder number so the auction house knows who you are. And what we require is just your name, address, phone number, a driver's license number, and we want to see a picture ID. That may seem a bit overboard, but that's one way we help make sure that you're serious when you're bidding and make sure that we get paid for the merchandise that you bought. And at Jewelry Exchange and Auction, there are many ways to bid. You can bid in person, come in on a Saturday night, preview, enjoy some champagne. We want to get you a little lubricated. And our runway models will show you the merchandise up close. There is no buyer's premium for our gallery bidders. That's the best way to bid. It's the most fun. And you can also leave absentee bids, register early, write your bid, leave your bid in writing, and we will bid for you. We can talk to you more about that if you come on in. If you're not able to make it to the auction, you can bid that way. There's still no buyer's premium. Or you can also bid online through proxybid.com. It's an online platform that allows us to simulcast our auctions through the internet. And we're actually previewed by somewhere between 10 and 24,000 people every week, as David said. And for the proxy bidders, there is a 15% buyer's premium because that's a service that we use and they don't work for free. On our bidder registration card, I'm just going to read you the agreement. It's pretty short and straightforward. We do not charge a buyer's premium for gallery bidders. Gallery bidders will be invoiced only at the price of their bids plus sales tax, if applicable. Our written descriptions of all of the items are true to our knowledge. Material identified as gold, silver, or platinum is guaranteed to be the material described. Gemstones, including diamonds, are guaranteed to be authentic. When any item is graded, every attempt is made to grade conservatively. Otherwise, items are sold as-is, where-is, and all sales are final. Please preview carefully before bidding. All merchandise must be paid for in full at the conclusion of the auction. No merchandise may be removed from the premises until the auction, until it is paid for in full. And, of course, sales tax will be charged on all purchases at the rate of 8.125% unless there's a valid resale certificate. It's pretty simple, really, and we really do guarantee our merchandise. Not many auction companies will do that. Another tip that I have is listen to the opening announcements before the auction. There's all kinds of useful information in there. Watch some lots sell before you start bidding so you can get a feel for the auction. And come join us. That's pretty much it. You can come join us at Jewelry Exchange and Auction at the corner of Stone Oak and Hardy Oak in northern San Antonio. Champagne at 6 p.m. The auction's at 7. We're coming up against a break here. And
yeah, I just want to mention that tonight we have, I think, 312 lots. Yeah, we do about 100 lots an hour. That's about 40 seconds a lot. And so the auction will be over around 10 o'clock. It's a friendly crowd. We have an off-duty police officer on the door. Make sure everybody behaves themselves. That music means that we're up against a hard break. KLUP is about to take you away for a couple of messages, but we're not going anywhere. We'll be right back with Billy Ward of Ward Auction Company. Don't go away. You're listening to In the Money with David and Adam Bluestein from the Jewelry Exchange and Auction. You're back with David and Adam Bluestein from the Jewelry Exchange and Auction on In the Money, the show that answers the questions, what is it, what's it worth, and what do I do with it? Our guest today is Billy Ward of Ward Auction Company on Bandera Road in San Antonio. Hi, Billy. Thanks for joining us on In the Money.
You're welcome, Dave.
Billy, you're a busy guy. Last time I called you, you said, call me back in 20 minutes. I'm unloading a truck. What are you working on these days?
Lately, we've been doing a lot of estates, David, and we've been doing a lot of South Texas and a lot of the area here in San Antonio.
You're traveling around doing sales?
We do travel around and do a lot of sales. I travel anywhere in the state of Texas, and I've traveled as far as Albuquerque, New Mexico. They want me to go back, and I'm looking to go to Minnesota here in a couple weeks.
Well, you must be doing something right, right?
Something.
Cool. Hey, how long you been involved in the auction business, Billy? How did you get started?
I actually got started in the auction business trying to pay for my college tuition.
Well, you can't just stop talking there. You got to tell us about that. What does that mean?
Actually, it was pretty fun. I was doing that as part-time, and then I got offered a management position. I finished my college, and I never went to go after the degree I did. I stayed as a management auction business. In 1996, I bought the business here in San Antonio.
What degree was that?
I was going after architectural engineering.
Well, he's a psychologist, and I'm an astrophysicist.
Isn't that funny?
And we're all in the auction
business. All got drawn to this business. I know it's exciting. You're always saying, what's in the box? What are people going to bring me? What's going to happen next? I hear you're traveling all over the place, but you do have an auction house right here in San Antonio.
Sure do. It's right in Leon Valley, right in the heart of Leon Valley.
I've been saying San Antonio, but that's not actually correct.
Actually, in the mail and everywhere else it is.
Okay,
but it's really in the heart of in Leon Valley.
Okay, in the southwest part of town?
Northwest.
Northwest
side of our town.
Well, we're from California. We're still just learning our way around here. Please, ladies and gentlemen, don't hold that against us. We're trying not to pollute South Texas, and we weren't born here, but we did get here just as fast as we could. You have regular weekly auctions at your auction house,
We have
correct?
An auction house that we do an auction every Monday night at 7 p.m., and we open the doors for preview at 1. That's when we invite everybody to come on over. Register, get a catalog, look at the items, make your notes, do whatever you want to do. We stay open from 1 until auction time at 7. You can still preview during the auction. The only thing is that we do go into numerical order, so we're following the catalog. It helps you.
Yes.
So if there's something that you hear me say, call number, I'm already on number 20. Anything previous of 20 has already been sold, but you're still welcome to walk around and preview as we're doing the auction.
Yeah, I think we all keep using this word preview. That's pretty important, isn't it?
It is very important. Unfortunately, the best time to come is on Mondays only, as during the week you might come in, you might see something in the showroom floor. It could be something that still has not been picked up from the Monday night auction, as people are still picking up their items on Tuesdays and Wednesdays. And then some people come back and say, hey, I saw that item. It's not here no more. Chances are you might have seen something that was sold. So we always invite you. The best time to come is on Monday at 1 o'clock.
But they have all day to do it, right?
They have all day. We open the doors at 1 o'clock, and we don't close. You know, we stay open through the whole auction.
Yeah, we see people sometimes, as Adam mentioned, trying to preview during the auction, and I think that's probably the best way to make a mistake. And we're going to talk a little bit later about, well, I was going to say about what you could do if you didn't preview and you bought something anyway, but I think what we're going to learn is the bottom line is the answer is nothing. That
exactly.
You have to preview, because once you've bought it, you've bought it. This is not an approval sale. Well, it sounds like you like this business. So you really enjoy doing this.
I sure do. It's something different every week. In our business, you never know what you're going to have the next week or what you're going to sell.
Well, for our business, Adam and my business, as the name implies, we specialize in jewelry, coins, currency, firearms, and collectibles. Do you have a specialty at Ward Auction Company?
We do it all. We do it from the same. We do the same thing: jewelry, coins. We do collectibles, rugs, furniture. We've done cars. We've done heavy equipment. We do it all.
Yeah, I know. I saw you having a machinery and equipment sale not too long ago.
Not too long ago, yes, sir.
And I think you told me about a retail liquidation you did down in McAllen, too, for a furniture store, was it?
That is correct. We did a furniture store retail liquidation, and we did a hardware store that went out of business.
You know, I've been wanting to ask you something for a while here. When we opened 3 years ago in San Antonio, you were the only auctioneer to welcome us into the business. You were the only guy. Well, why were you so nice?
I guess, being honest with you, David, I was given the opportunity at one time, and I don't see why everybody shouldn't have that.
Yeah, we're working with a new auctioneer who just got his license a couple weeks ago. And we're doing what we can to help him, too. Why not? There's so much merchandise out there. I always say, I don't want it all. I just want a piece of it. I'll be happy with a piece of it. Billy and I first worked together when I was offered a house in Deerfield. And the people said, well, here's the house. Come over. We looked at the house. And they said, well, would you like to liquidate this household?
It wasn't the house. It was the contents of the house, right?
Oh, yeah, the contents of the house. Well, yeah. And I said, well, sure. And they said, good. We've got 3 days. I don't know why. It didn't matter why. We had 3 days to do it. So I called Billy, and I came in with my team, and we took the smaller things, because if you know the jewelry exchange and all, you know we don't deal in larger merchandise. You know, Billy has all these big guys working for him. We've got these...
Wait a minute. There is no big guys. I am
the big Well, Billy's the big guy. Okay, Billy's willing to lift that up. I'm going to be 60 next month, Billy. And so we've got young ladies working for us, mostly with some guys. And so we specialize on the small things. We don't have much room either. I think you have a lot more room than we do.
Yeah.
So Billy and I showed up in one day, and at the end of that day, that house was empty, and the lady got to move on and move to her retirement situation. And the consigner, the lady, had made an agreement with me. I made an agreement with Billy, so she didn't have to run all over town figuring out what to do. And all together, we just took care of things together. I don't know why all auctioneers can't work that way. Billy, we've been talking about the mechanics of how auctions work. Would you talk to our listeners, please, about how you handle commissions for the sellers?
Well, in our business, really the commission is not negotiable. It's on the contract. You get charged the same no matter who you are or what you bring in. At my auction, we do not do a reserve. We don't do no minimums. That's a chance you take. We try our best. We have a vested interest in the merchandise. You got to understand, we're on commission. Our job is not to sell it cheap, because the more I can get for you in the return dollars, the more I can make for you, the more I can make. I have no interest in it going it cheap. Trust me, I could not pay the overhead of the square footage that we have, the employees that we have, the time that we have in it, if it was going cheap. We have no vested interest.
Yeah,
it's a lot of hard work for nothing when that happens.
Yeah, we explain that to our customers who sometimes don't seem to understand that. That I often say, I don't know how greedy you are, but I'm more greedy than you, and I'm working for a percentage here. So please don't think we're not going to seriously consider the best way to sell this. We'll say and do everything that's legal and honest, but we need to get that price up, because that's how we get paid. And we mentioned buyer's premiums. We've got an online buyer's premium, but no gallery premium. It's just something that evolved for us. What do you do with buyer's premiums?
On buyer's premiums, ours is the same because we don't do the proxy bidding. It's all in the live,
yes,
at the auction house. So our buyer's premium is standard the same, no matter what it is you buy or what the item is.
Okay. And so I've heard you, we talked about how we did a house, you know, the contents of a house, excuse me, Adam. Never have children, ladies and gentlemen, because I never let you say anything that isn't technically correct. We did the contents of a house together. You do retail liquidations. And so we know that if someone had an entire household or a business they wanted to liquidate, that you would handle that. But what if someone has a single piece of merchandise that they want to sell?
Typically, we like to take a look at the merchandise when there is one single item. If it's a small item that's not of a lot of value, we prefer that they bring at least 15 to 20 items in when they do bring in a consignment. It is a lot of work to keep track of something in inventory. Then when you've got 300 items out there, to keep track of one item that's going to go for $30, it really doesn't make the sense in time, being honest with you.
Right, just isn't cost effective.
It isn't cost effective.
Yeah. Do your consigners generally believe that their merchandise is worth more than it really is, or they have a pretty good handle on what the value is of their stuff?
Most of them have a handle of what it's worth. A lot of them are a little bit optimistic. We get a lot of younger crowd that comes in and said, it belonged to my great-grandma.
There you go.
One of the things that we get phone calls, and it's every week, is sewing machines. I don't know what it is. There must be all over town here in San Antonio. And they say, I've got this old sewing machine with an iron base. And they just don't have the value. And for some reason, sewing machines are one. So it's just one of those things. Sometimes items have more sentimental value than they have actual value, but I usually will tell you that, and it's just the way it is. But I think we all have that, even in ourselves. We might have some items that are more sentimental value to us than what we would take for, you know, than what it's worth. But that's why we keep it.
Yeah, the sewing machine is a great example. We have the 14 in-the-money facts of life, and the sewing machine applies to about 16 of the 14 because, I mean, when I started 30 years ago, a nice Singer sewing machine in a beautiful wooden cabinet with the iron treadle, and it worked. People wanted those $100, $200 piece, and now when the dollar is so much devalued, we actually sold one recently. It went for $30, and that's so many different reasons, but basically, what we explain, one of our rules is if young people don't want it, then nobody wants it. And young people nowadays, they don't want a smelly old sewing machine in their house. What does that say? It doesn't say anything. It just says, I've got a smelly old sewing machine in my house.
Exactly.
Yeah. Let's talk about the buyers. We've been talking about the sellers. When someone buys merchandise at your auction, I think I already know what you're going to say, because I think it's pretty much standard for an auction house. But when someone buys merchandise at Ward Auction, what kind of guarantee or warranty do you provide to your buyer?
We don't give them any warranties or guarantees. The only thing we warranty and guarantee, again, is the same thing that you do. If you buy a coin or jewelry, we guarantee to be exactly what we tell you. We do provide you a catalog at our place, so it's exactly what's on that catalog. It's also on your receipt. So if we call it something, we're going to guarantee to be exactly what it is. Whether the quality of the item is not there when you're selling stones or graded coins or a coin that you just call it by the year because there is no grading on it as far as AU or MS63.
Right.
I mean, you just can't guarantee that. So we tell them you have to take that, and that's why you have inspection. Please preview the items.
It's so important.
Exactly. And the furniture, the same thing. We get so many items go through there. We have to unload and move a lot of stuff, a lot of glassware, we don't have time to check every single item for chips, for cracks, for little door dings, hinges, especially when you're buying antiques. It's old. It's not new. I mean, if you want particle board and laminate furniture, go down to the furniture store around the corner.
And so that's why you preview.
Exactly, and that's why you have preview. And that's why, again, it's very, very important that you please come preview the items. You know, and that way there's you have no remorse when you buy the item.
Right. And I'm going to pitch you a softball here. Under what circumstances can a buyer return merchandise if they just decide they don't want it?
This is not Walmart. It really isn't Walmart, you know. And you signed your bidder's card. It's as is, where is. Again, there is no refunds. There is no returns. So we ask that you please make sure before you're bidding on it, you know, and before you get caught up in the bidding, you know, that you understand what you're buying and that you, you know, a good thing to do is come into preview again. You know, we stress on that. Come into preview. Make your notes. Tell yourself, hey, look, you know what? This item's worth $100 to me. Stick to that $100.
Stick to the
$100. I mean, don't take me wrong. I like for it to go for a lot of money. We want it to go high. But stick to your $100. Make yourself a note and stick to it. If it goes for $105, don't bid, you know, because we don't want you to be regret what you bought there and then not want to come back.
Exactly.
If they bought something and they decided later they didn't want it, could they reconsign the merchandise to your auction?
Yes, they sure are. We can take consignments, and we have that happen a lot. Sometimes we sell complete bedroom sets, and people say, I only wanted the chest and dresser because it's a full-size bed. I can't use a full-size bed. So they'll just reconsign the bed.
And, of course, with no guarantee what the outcome is.
Exactly, with no guarantee what the outcome is.
We've had that happen. We've had people make money on the deal, but sometimes
that's not.
That's
not normal.
No, it's not normal, but it has happened.
Sure.
It has happened.
We'll sell a Rolex watch, for example. You know, when you buy a new Rolex watch at the store, you pay an awful lot more money for it, and it comes with a 3-year warranty and a box and a tag. And if it stops running in 3 years, you can bring it back. And when we sell a Rolex, it'll be an estate Rolex, and we're going to guarantee that the watch is authentic. And we'll also tell you that if it's running at the time. But there's just no guarantee that 2 days later it stops running or it continues to run. And we sincerely are sorry when that happens, but really it's as is wear is. And all we can guarantee is that the piece is authentic. And that's one reason you can buy things for sometimes a third or less of what the retail value is.
That is correct.
Anything particularly interesting or valuable happening?
Not at the moment, really.
Anything happen that you can think of that you can talk about that has really surprised you or pleased you?
Well, I'll tell you what that has really surprised me lately, though. We have been getting a lot of younger generation coming in to buy stuff.
Oh, good.
It's hard. We tried to guide them through the buying. I try to tell them, look, you know, a lot of them come in, they're really novice about it, but we want you to come in. We want you to learn the business. We want you to come back. You know, it's a good way to start, especially with today's economy. You know, who can go buy a brand new house, just got out of college, go get in debt, get a car, and then have to go buy all new furniture? Auction is a great way to really furnish a house or, you know, for a lot of people to buy a lot of good quality items.
I know that people are afraid to come to auction sometime because they think, like what Adam said, that they're going to twitch or move a finger and end up owning something. But I've been to your auctions, and I know every syllable. You can understand every syllable. You always know what's happening. And I know, too, like at our auction, somebody looks confused or concerned. We stop for a second, make sure that they know what's going on. We sold a strand of pearls, and I was calling for bids, and I called for 500, then 600, six, now seven, now eight. She bid eight. Then I called for nine. And nobody bid nine, so I said, sold, $800. And she looked like she was going to pass out because after $500 or $600, I stopped using the word hundred, and she thought she just bought a strand of pearls for $8. And she started to put her card up like, well, I guess I'm stuck with it for $800. And I said, I'm not going to do that to you. I can't do that to you. But still, we would prefer that people pay attention.
Exactly. And that's the main thing. You got to pay attention. A lot of people come in. They talk a lot during the preview. When the auctioneer is doing his announcements, that's really the time to really pay attention. You really want to pay attention to the terms. I mean, we have a policy of what time to get the items picked up. In your case, the good thing for you is they get to take it with them that night. Yeah. It usually fits in their pocket.
Or we ship it within the next 3 days.
Exactly, if they're not there. But if they're there, most of your 100% customers are going to take it with them because it's small items. Sure. Yeah, you ask them to. In my case, a lot of people don't have to come back. So they have to pay attention because we do have terms as far as pickup. So, you know, pay attention to when an auctioneer's – they tell you the buyer's premium. They tell you the sales tax. They tell you the terms and conditions. That is the best time to listen. After that, it's usually pretty simple.
We do the auction Saturday night. We're generally out of there by 11 o'clock. Sunday, we stay home with the covers over our heads because – we're exhausted, yet the phone is ringing and the emails are coming with people who want to pick it up and they have questions.
I'm jealous of you because we have our Monday night auction. We get home that late. We still got to be back at 7 in the morning.
Tuesday morning. Well, shut it down. Come work for us, Billy. We'll join forces. Hey, as I mentioned before, we've got a guy who just got his auctioneer license, and we like working with him. And like I say, you were nice to us. Do you have any advice for someone who might think they want to become an auctioneer? Look at these shows on TV. They make it look so easy.
I was about to say, it's not as easy as it looks. I mean, if you want to get in the auction business, it's basically like getting to be a roofer or into the landscaping business. You got to be willing to work hard because it doesn't come easy. Don't expect to go put a sign on the door, say, I'm going to sit right here and I'm going to make all this money.
Our first auction.
It's not going
to
happen.
Our first auction, I swear to you, we spent about a month and a half and $20,000 to let San Antonio know, here we are. We had wonderful merchandise. Three people showed up. We had to cancel the auction. And then we went out. Of course, we were shell-shocked. And 2 weeks later, we tried it again. And I think four or five people showed up. And we said, if we're going to have an auction, we better have an auction now. And we just sold things. We got devastated.
Aside from that, too, it's a logistical nightmare. Paying the consigners, keeping track of who owns what did it sell for. It's a logistical nightmare, but it can be done. It's possible. You just have to be patient and have a good team.
I've seen quite a few customers in my 16 years that I've been in business that have tried to go get their license and do it.
Right.
And I usually tell them, I wish you luck. You know, I wish you luck because it's not as easy as it looks. But they come in and they've tried it, and I've seen them go up there and they give it a shot and it didn't make it. But you know what? Some do. But you got to be willing to work hard at it.
Right. Hey, Billy, free consultations? If somebody just wants to talk to you, can they do that for free?
Yes, sure. They sure can. Anybody who's got any questions can give us a call. Our phone number is 210-521-7653. Or easy way to remember it is 210-521-SOLD.
Sold. That's not a coincidence, right?
No, it's not a coincidence. We actually asked for that phone number.
Maybe that was just some divine thing.
Yeah.
Billy, I always end our interviews with the same question. What question do you wish we had asked you that we didn't?
Well, really, you've covered just about everything.
I am so good at this game.
You've actually covered everything.
I got one quick question. I'm curious about this. What is exactly your buyer's premium and your commission rate? I haven't heard you say.
Our buyer's premium is 10%.
Okay.
So, and that's on anything, whether it's a $5 item, $10 item, $2,000 item, it is 10%.
And your commission
rate? Our commission rate is 25% of the sale price. So if you sell something for $100, we get 25. The consignor gets 75.
Okay.
You know?
That answers my question.
Yeah, so your commission rate is a little lower than ours in general, but there's a buyer's premium for the gallery bidders.
Exactly.
I think if you do all the math, it probably comes out about the same. We're discussing different terms for the fact that we have to get paid, ladies and gentlemen. This ain't easy.
Yeah, that's correct.
Hey, we're going to take a short commercial break now, then we'll return to answer all your questions here on In the Money with our special guest, Billy Ward from Ward Auction Company, and Adam and me, David Bluestein from the Jewelry Exchange. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Adam Bluestein from the Jewelry Exchange and Auction in San Antonio. Everybody knows that you can get great deals on jewelry, coins, collectibles at our Saturday night auctions. But did you know that now we have our federal firearms license? That's right. This is Texas, and Texans love guns. We are selling guns just as fast as we can get them, and our bidders want more. We need your unwanted firearms for our live auctions. We'll show them to over 10,000 qualified bidders and get you the highest price. And for a limited time, we'll do it for a reduced commission, only 20% of the sale price. Nobody else in town, not even Billy Ward, can do that for you. Just mention this ad and receive this special offer. It's all happening at the Jewelry Exchange and Auction each Saturday in San Antonio. Texas license number 16604, Member Better Business Bureau. Call 210-592-8786 or visit jewelryexchangeandauction.com and join us every Saturday morning at 7 a.m. for In the Money right here on KLUP.
You're back with David and Adam Bluestein from the Jewelry Exchange and Auction on In the Money, the show that answers the questions, what is it, what's it worth, what do I do with it? Our guest today, Billy Ward of Ward Auction Company. We have a couple of emails here I'm going to try to squeeze in. I know, do we just talk too much, or is there just so much that we want to share with you? But let's do what we can here. Here's an email we received a couple days ago. I have two items I'm looking to sell, but I'm not sure what they go for. I've had them estimated at $5,000 to $5,200. They are two original hand-carved marble wolves by G. Huerta. And I won't read the person's name. Billy, how would you respond to that?
I honestly tell you that what I usually do is I tell people on something like that is, unless you can bring me an appraisal from somebody who appraised it, and I don't do certified appraisals, I usually tell them, bring me something like that on paper, in writing, and then I will take a look at it. But I honestly don't, I don't do appraisals because lots of times they have more, and you've been in this business, you sell jewelry, yes. Retail replacement
it's,
cost.
Of course.
It's very, yes, exactly. It's meaningless. So, you know, that what it's worth to you and what it could be worth on the real market is totally two different dollar values.
Yeah, also, the condition matters. The name is really what's going to make it. But if it's all banged up, then it doesn't matter.
Well, the conditions and a collector.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have certain expertise. And frankly, hand-carved marble wolves by G. Huerta is not among them. But we do have databases that we can search, and we have our own records and all sorts of other records. This one was pretty easy for me. I went on to eBay, and I actually was able to find a listing for these two hand-carved marble wolves by G. Huerta, and the picture that was in the email was the same picture that was on eBay, and I could see that there was an attempt to have an auction there that had already closed, already completed. There was an attempt to get a $100 bid for the pair, and no one would bid the $100. So if the questioner is correct that there's an estimated value of $5,000 to $5,200, but you can't even get a $100 bid, Billy, what are those worth?
They're worth what somebody's going to pay for the night of the auction.
Which apparently is less than $100.
Exactly.
Regardless of the appraised value.
What it sells for that night.
That's right. I got another one here. That where they say, I'm interested in selling or consigning some pieces of fine jewelry that I have. And really, you know, Adam and I specialize in fine jewelry, but you could insert any words there. But I'm in San Diego. Is it possible to just send pictures with the descriptions, or do I have to have the items brought to you so that you can sell them?
Pictures will help, and I will usually email you back or call you, and we tell people that they can contact us by email also at our website. But, you know, it's better to have something on hand and people can actually feel in touch, and it usually changes the value of what somebody will bid on it.
You know, I read this email a couple of times, and I, of course, if they just want to talk about it, we can do all that. But I think she might actually be asking if we were able to sell the merchandise for her just using the pictures. And, of course, the answer is no.
Yeah, that is correct.
Well, Billy, thanks so much for joining us here today. We're going to be back next Saturday with our new program. In fact, it's Facts of Life number 12. If it's not authenticated, it's not authentic. And we'll welcome our very special guest, Ted Uhr from Ted's Collectibles. He's going to talk about sports collectibles and more. If you have questions about authentication or sports collectibles, please call us at 210-592-8786. 210-592-8786, or email your questions to inthemoneyradio.com, questions@inthemoneyradio.com. We'll answer every single question. We'll answer the best ones on the air. We hope to see you all tonight at our live auction at the Jewelry Exchange in Stone Oak, and we hope you'll join us next week and every week on In the Money, the show that answers the questions, what is it, what's it worth, and what do I do with it? Thanks for joining us this morning. Everybody, have a great week.